in Islamic studies and focusing on Iran. And so a Christian pastor and scholar of Islam in his own right. And he has been most gracious not only to establish a number of relationships that we are continuing to enjoy and develop, but to come this whole week and serve as our happy and capable interpreter. We really, really appreciate, Sasan, your being here. And I do want to introduce, and I don't want to take too much time away from him further, our particularly special guest, Hojatul Islam Muhammad Ali Abtahi. Mr. Abtahi, as I already mentioned, along with his wife, they have three daughters, by the way, two of whom are married. Mr. Abtahi will become a grandfather in 5 months. He has a very active website. This is almost a quotation from Sasan. He's one of the coolest guys in Iran. And he has blogged every day for the past 4 years, and he has these lovely pictures up. Some of you may be in some of his pictures on his website, I don't know. But we're expecting pictures of your grandchild starting in about 5 months from now. But prior to beginning this Institute for Interreligious Dialogue, he served as chief of staff and then vice president under the previous president of Iran, President Khatami, and remains one of former President Khatami's closest advisors and confidants, and writes social political commentary from a reformist viewpoint. He was born in 1958, was 21 years old when the Islamic Revolution occurred, has personal dealings, for example, with Ayatollah Khomeini, and has seen a great deal of change in and around Iran, and so can offer us some special windows through which many of us will not ordinarily have opportunity to view life in Iran and how Islam works in Iran. And so, Mr. Abtahi, we're going to ask you to come and speak now. And what we're going to do is, instead of a formal speech, just have a couple of topics that he'll speak to somewhat informally. And then we'll leave some time for some question and answer. Now, I've announced to many of you that we kind of want to steer clear of certain topics just because of the current international environment. But Mr. Abtahi seems very, very willing and eager to entertain all sorts of topics that you would like to present to him. You will do so, of course, in a cordial and friendly way, and he will entertain those questions in that sort of a way. Feel free to ask him what you would like to, and he will feel free to answer you in the way that he wants to. And we'll have a friendly and constructive time together. So, Mr. Abtahi, if you will come and share a little bit, maybe more about yourself, and then we'll pursue something along the lines of local religious life and how Islam works in Iran and take it from there. So let's welcome our special guest, Mr. Abtahi.
Thank you. برای من شب بسیار خوبیه که امشب در کلیسا با شما جمع شدم. اولا بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم.
In the name of God, the gracious, the merciful, I want to say that it's a wonderful evening for me to be in a church with you.
امشب شب بسیار خوبیه برای من به خاطر اینکه شما رو می‌بینم و این کار همکاری‌های جمعی قشنگی که قبل از اینجا دیدم در این مراسم.
Not only is wonderful to see you, but your wonderful potluck. He was very impressed with the concept of potluck dinner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
این نوع همکاری‌های محلی که می‌تونه با آشنایی‌های یک دیگه منجر بشه برای یه الگوی خوبی می‌تونه بشه برای همه آدم‌ها در زندگی‌های اجتماعیشون در زندگی‌های سیاسیشون.
Your fellowship dinner that creates a community in this neighborhood can be a great role model for all human societies and all human relationships.
حتی در حوزه سیاست.
Even in political realm.
اگر اینو گفتگوها فراوان‌تر بشه حتما ما اثرات بهتری خواهیم گرفت.
If these kinds of conversations and dialogues become more common, the effect we will have a positive effect.
کلیسای شما هم خیلی قشنگه زمنه.
And your church is also a beautiful church.
آدم احساس آرامش و لذت میکنه.
And one feels a lot of peace here.
من اسمم محمد علی ابتهیه.
My name is Muhammad Ali Abtahi.
من در قبل از پیروزی انقلاب ایران دنیا اومدم.
I was born before the Islamic Revolution.
در موقع پیروزی انقلاب 20 سالم بوده.
I was about 20 years old when the revolution took place.
مثل هر جوانی که در اون دوران تلاش می‌کرده برای انقلابی باشه، منم انقلابی بودم.
Like almost all our young people, I was caught up in the revolution and I was a revolutionary.
و الان هم از اون انقلابی که انجام دادم پشیمون نیستم.
We are not sorry for having had a revolution.
و بعد از پیروزی انقلاب من تو کارهای فرهنگی بودم و هنری بودم.
After the revolution I was involved in cultural and arts areas of culture and arts.
مدت‌ها مدیر رادیو ایران بودم.
I was the head of the Iranian radio program.
بعد از اونجا تو ایام جنگ بود که من مدیر رادیو بودم.
This was during the Iran-Iraq war that I ran the radio in the country.
و بسیار شرایط سختی بود.
It was a very difficult day.
تجربه بسیار مهمی هم بود برای من.
And it was an incredible experience for me.
بعد از اون سالها معاون وزیر ارشاد بودم که آقای خاتمی وزیر ارشاد بود.
After that I was an assistant to the Minister of Islamic Culture and Mr. Khatami was the head of that ministry.
در حوزه بین المللی هم من معاون وزیر بودم.
I was involved in international relationships on behalf of the Islamic culture.
به همین دلیل خیلی از کشورهای دنیا سفر کردم.
I have traveled around the world quite extensively.
3 سال در بیروت من ژورنالیست بودم.
I was in Beirut for 3 years as a journalist.
و اونجا با گروه‌های مسیحی آشنا شدم.
And I became acquainted with various Christian communities there.
و بعد از اون از اونجا علاقمند شدم که گروه گفتگوی ادیان داشته باشم.
And it was because of my experience in Beirut that I decided to establish the Institute for Interreligious Dialogue in Iran.
ولی پایان دوران مدت من در بیروت مصادف شد با کاندیداتوری آقای خاتمی.
And when President Khatami wanted to run for presidency, I went back to Iran to head his campaign.
و بعد از پیروزی ایشان هم من رئیس دفترشون شدم.
And after he was elected as president, I became the chief of staff in his first term.
و دوره دوم هم من معاون رئیس جمهور بودم در حوزه امور پارلمانی.
And during his second term, I became one of the vice presidents of the country in charge of the parliamentary relations.
و الان هم بیشتر وقتم رو در ارتباط با مؤسسه گفتگوی ادیان می‌گذرونم.
Now I spend most of my time involved with our interreligious dialogue center.
و من همچنین یه وبلاگ دارم که به اون خیلی مشغولم.
And I also have a daily weblog that keeps me busy.
4 سال تمام دارم می‌نویسم.
For 4 years I have written on it every day.
هر روز هم یه عکس جدید می‌ذارم. Every day I باعث شده که ارتباط خوبی داشته باشم با مردم.
Every day I put a new picture on my blog and a lot it's very popular. People like to see the pictures.
و 60 تا روزانه ایمیل دریافت می‌کنم، ارتباط مستقیمی هم با جوانای کشورم دارم.
Every day I receive 60 to 70 emails and I have a lot of direct relationships with the young people in our country.
خب this is for me. من فکر میکنم که
از زندگی معمولی یه مسلمان، یعنی در
نمیخوای یه سوال اونا بکنن تو سوالا باشه،
خودش واسه از عبادت یه مسلمان، مسجد، زندگی ایمانی یه مسلمان.
بگو این شما این پیشنهاد دادی
بابا این خود نیاسم.
خب نه بگو که من بدارم به این بهانه صحبت شروع
کنم. Dr. Jennings had asked me to ask Mr. Abtahi to talk about the religious life of an Iranian Muslim in relationship to a local mosque, about their daily life. What's an average daily life of a Muslim? Religious religious traditions, religious behavior. So, and then after that, we will open it up for your discussions and questions.
مردم ایران معتقد، اکثریت مردم ایران معتقد به اسلام هستند.
Most Iranians are committed Muslims.
و کمتر از 1% غیر مسلمان هست.
There is less than 1% non-Muslims in the country of Iran.
و در حدود مثلا 2 یا 3% هم 2% هم حد اکثر سنی هستند.
About 2% of the country there are Sunni Muslims.
و اکثرا طبیعتا شیعه هستند.
The rest obviously are Shiites.
قبل از جنگ ایران و قبل از جنگ آمریکا و این مسئله آمریکا و عراق کسی شیعه رو و سنی رو جدا نمی‌شناخت خب الان ولی دیگه همه می‌شناسن.
Before the Iraq war, most people didn't know the difference between Shiites and Sunnis, but now of course everybody's heard of that.
ما افراد ایرانی خیلی از لحاظ پایبندی دینی قوی نیستن پایبندی های خیلی زیادی ندارن
من قبلا گفته بودم خیلی متعهد
خب خیلی گفته بودم
I guess goofed up in my translation. I said the majority of people are committed Muslims, but he's saying, no, most Iranians are not very committed Muslims. Sorry for my translation mistake. But that in itself is quite an incredible statement.
به خصوص تو جوان ها کمتر حضور توی مساجد و این مثلا عبادت های چیز وجود داره.
Especially in the youth, among the youth, you see very few young people going to the mosques.
فکر میکنم مثل همه جای دنیا باشه.
I think this is like the rest of the world.
ولی خب یه سری جوان هایی هم هستن که یه نوع پایبندی های جدی تری به حکومت دارن به انقلاب دارن اونها هم وسیعن البته
Of course there is also a lot of young people committed to the revolution committed to the government and the religion of Islam there are also a significant number
اونها بیشتر البته یه دین رسمی دارن
Of course their religion is more of an official religion
ولی توی مردم به صورت وسیع اونها مسجدها خیلی پرجمعیت نیست.
But our mosques are not, do not have a lot of people. A lot,
ما در سه وقت.
The mosques do not have a lot of members or a lot of people attending.
ما در سه وقت نماز میخونیم در شبانه روز.
Among Shiites, we pray 3 times a day.
یکی موقع اذان صبح که 1.5 ساعت قبل از طلوع آفتابه.
1.5 ساعت. About an hour and a half before sunrise is the first set of prayers.
یکی موقع ظهر
the second set is at noon time
نماز ظهر و عصر رو با هم می‌خونیم
noon and afternoon prayers the Shiites say them together
یکی هم اول مغرب
and then at dawn
نماز صبح کمتر تو مسجد برگزار میشه
very few people attend mosques early in the morning to say their prayers
ولی نماز ظهر و نماز مغرب و عشا در مساجد برگزار میشه
but noon and evening prayers are said in the mosques
یک مراسم دیگه هم بزرگ هستش که نماز جمعه هست.
Another important part of our religious life is Friday prayers.
که اون بیشتر یک نوع نمایش در بعد از انقلاب نمایش حکومتی شده.
But after the revolution that has become almost like an official showing off of the government.
چون معمولا امام جمعه تهران و شهرستان‌های بزرگ یا رئیس یا یکی از مقامات بزرگ کشور که روحانی هستن میرن نماز میخونن
because the people who lead the Friday prayers are usually high level government officials
و به همین دلیل بیشتر نماز جمعه یک همایش سیاسی در ایران هست
it has become mostly a political demonstration of the power of the government
و توی اونجا مسائل مختلف کشور مسائل مملکت موضع‌گیری ها حتی خیلی از خبرگزاری‌های دنیا بعضی وقت‌ها منتظر می‌مونن روز جمعه پیش بیاد و مواضع ایران رو بشنون.
A lot of political statements are made at Friday prayer meetings and even a lot of the world press awaits to hear the Iranian position on the political issue in the sermon of the Friday prayers.
به دلیل اینکه نماز جمعه باید یکی در شهر برگزار بشه در ظهرای نماز جمعه مساجد دیگه نماز توش برگزار نمیشه.
Because there should be only one Friday prayer meetings get a collective Friday prayer meeting the mosques people do not go to the regular mosques for Friday prayer meetings they all gather in one spot
این یک اختلافی بین شیعه و سنی هست سنی ها در همه مساجد میتونن نماز جمعه بخونن
this is one difference between Shiites and Sunnis Sunnis can go to any mosque for Friday prayer meetings Shiites gather in one location
تو ادامه شم میری دیگه همین که شیعه ها تو یک وان لوکیشن یک مراسم دعاخوانی هم در شیعیان خیلی رواج داره.
There is also another ceremony among Shiites that is reciting prayers.
این البته واجب نیست.
This is not an obligatory religious action.
ولی در شب‌های جمعه معمولاً در همه مساجد یا مراسم مثل مراکز مقدسی مثل مشهد یا قم اونجا دعای کمیل‌های بسیار بزرگی می‌خونند.
شب جمعه یعنی پنجشنبه شب معمولاً.
بله.
On Thursday evenings there can be large gatherings of people in mosques in various cities listening to a written prayer.
البته می‌دونید که ما روزهای جمعه تعطیلمون هستش.
Yeah, our weekend is Fridays. That's the day off.
و روز مقدس ما هم روز جمعه است.
And our holy day is Friday.
در دعاهای ما دعاهایی است که از پیغمبر یا امامان رسیده.
The prayers we recite are the prayers that have been taught to us by Prophet Muhammad or the Shiite imams.
خود افراد دعا از خودشون نمیخونن.
It's not customary for people to say their own prayers in these prayer meetings.
دعاها بیشتر مضمون عاشقانه‌ای داره، یک نوع ارتباط عاشقانه‌ای با خدا رو ترسیم میکنه.
The prayers usually talk about people's love for God and a love relationship between people and God.
معمولا هم این دعاها خیلی اگر کسی معناش بفهمه خیلی احساسات برانگیزه.
If people understand the prayers, they are very emotional prayers.
مثلا در یکی از معروف‌ترین جملات دعاهای ما که در خیلی از دعاها آمده میگه که خدایا اگر منو به جهنم ببری من همه اهالی جهنم رو جمع میکنم، میگم من خدا رو دوست داشتم ولی منو برد جهنم.
One part of a very popular prayer is to say to God, God, if you send me to hell, I'm going to gather all the people in hell and tell them I love God very much but he sent me to hell.
تعابیر خیلی عاشقانه ای با خدا داره.
A lot of emotionally strong love language between a person and God.
نشأت میگیره از عرفان اسلامی.
It is very much rooted in Islamic mysticism.
مراسم دعا به خاطر اینکه خودجوش آدم ها میرن و خودشون دوست دارن برن، حتی از مراسم رسمی نمازها بیشتر جمعیت داره توش.
These prayer meetings are more popular because people go voluntarily. They're not forced by the government to go. So these prayer meetings are more popular than the official Friday prayer meeting sponsored by the government.
یکی دیگه از مراسم مهم مسلمان‌ها ماه رمضانه.
Another important part of our religious life is the month of Ramadan.
اون ماه رو باید روزه بگیرن.
People fast during that month.
و از اول اذان مغرب تا اول اذان صبح تا اول اذان مغرب.
From the time of morning prayers till the time of the evening prayers.
چیزی نمیخورن.
Nobody must eat anything.
ولی شبها اون ما اون روزها رو بیشتر عبادت میکنن.
Those are the days devoted to prayers and worship.
ولی شبهای ما رمضان شبهای بسیار قشنگیه در کشورهای اسلامی.
But the evenings during the month of Ramadan are beautiful evenings in Islamic countries.
در همه جا شیرینی‌های مخصوصی درست میکنن برای شبهاش در همه کشور اسلامی.
In all Islamic countries people make beautiful cakes and sweets and dessert.
معمولاً چراغونی میکنن، جشن میگیرن.
They light up the buildings, they celebrate.
و افطارها بیشتر وقتها مهمونی میدن توی مساجد یا توی خونه های.
And then there are big parties and big dinner at evening meal time where people can eat for the first time that day.
ماه رمضان یه نوعی همکاری های مشترک خوبی بین مردم ایجاد میشه.
Usually people work together well during the month of Ramadan.
و فکر میکنم که ماه رمضان در عبادت ها روزه گرفتن در بین سایر عبادت های اسلامی و واجبات اسلامی خیلی بیشتر طرفدار داره.
روزه گرفتن
تو کشور.
I believe that fasting is much more popular of a religious obligatory act than other religious obligatory actions among Muslims.
فرق اسلام و یهودیا با مسیحی ها اینه که اسلام فقه بسیار وسیعی داره.
The difference between Islam and Judaism against Christianity is that Islam has a very strong legal system.
دستورات واجبات زیادی داره.
There are many commandments in Islam that people are obligated to obey.
و اونها رو باید چه روزانه، چه به صورت سالانه و چه در فصل‌های مختلف انجام بده.
These are daily commandments and actions and yearly seasonal things that we have to keep and do.
و رهبران دینی یه بزرگ مرجع تقلیدن که مردم از اونها میپرسن که چه کارهایی باید انجام بدن در شیعه.
In Shiite Islam we have prominent religious leaders where people imitate or emulate and people ask their religious leaders what they should do and how they should behave as Muslims.
اینا خیلیشون با هم اختلاف نظر هم دارن توی مسائل.
And of course among prominent leaders there can be differences of opinions about what behavior to do and what actions to do.
به این دلیل وقتی که به اونها مراجعه میکنن اونها قدرت بسیار بزرگی دارن.
So our prominent religious leaders have a lot of power over people in dictating how they live.
و مهمترم اینه که حکومت حتی اگه حکومتی مثل حکومت ایران که حکومت اسلامی باشه نمیتونه تأثیرگذار زیادی باشه که مردم مقلد کی باشن.
Yeah, and the government, although it's a religious government, cannot force people to follow which leader. I mean, people have the freedom to choose one of the leaders and say we follow our leader, not what the government tells us.
به همین دلیل رهبران دینی سنتی هم یه قدرت بسیار بزرگی برای خودشون تعریف میکنن که بسیاری از وقتها حکومت از اینا میترسه حتی اگه حکومت دینی باشه و در رأسش یک آیت الله باشه.
So obviously the prominent ayatollahs in the country, they have a lot of power in people's lives in the country, and even our religious government sometimes is afraid of these individuals and the power they have over their followers.
اونها یه قدرت دینی دارن.
They have religious power.
حتی در دوران شاه که کاملا حکومت غیر دینی و حتی ضد دینی بود در بسیاری از موارد نظرات اینها رو نظرات این مراجع تقلید مورد توجه قرار
Even during the time of the Shah when the Shah was very non-religious or even anti-religious he had to respect the decisions of these religious leaders.
یکی دیگه از عبادت‌های بسیار مهم مسلمان‌ها حج.
Another aspect of religious life in Islam is Hajj.
که هر کس که پول داشته باشه که بره مکه واجبه براش که یک بار در عمرش بره حج.
Anybody who can afford it is obligated to go to Hajj once in their lifetime.
بیشتر هم میتونه بره ولی یکی بارش واجبه.
They can go more than once but they are obligated to do it at least once.
حج عبادت بسیار پر اکشنیه و
حج is a very action filled worship.
کارهای بسیار زیادی باید بکنه در اعمال حج.
One must perform many duties, many actions during this time.
یه نوع نمایش قدرت اسلام هم هست.
It's also a demonstration of the power of Islam.
چون مثلا در یک شب و در یک مثلا 5 ساعت باید تمام مسلمان‌ها در یه زمین بسیار کوچیکی جمع بشن با یه لباس مخصوص.
Yeah. So like in a few hours on a special day a huge group of Muslims have to gather together in one location with the same clothes.
و باز برگردن دوباره به سر جاشون این رفت و آمد و این یه نوع نمایش حج یک نوع عبادت جمعی و نمایشی است.
Yeah, so and then they got to go back to their country. So there's a lot of movement, there is a lot of show of strength, there's a lot of numbers involved, so it's a show of the power and the unity of Islam.
دیگه الان سالهاست دولت عربستان سعودی محدودیت برای کشورها گذاشته.
For many years this
اینکه نمیتونه اونا رو جای بده.
The Saudi Arabian government that is responsible for the administration of Hajj has given quotas to each country of how many people they can send to this ceremony because they cannot accommodate everybody from the world.
اینها رؤوس عبادات در اسلام.
These are aspects of religious life in Islam.
و فکر میکنم که جلسه بیشتر از این اجازه نده که من راجع به مسائل عبادی بحث کنم.
I don't think we have more time to talk about our religious life. I have one question about religious life. من خودم یه سوال دارم. توی مسجد آیا مثلا مردم که میان عبادت میکنن مثلا تو کلیسا مردم میان عبادت میکنن ولی با هم رفت و آمد دارن تو خونه ها و زندگی های همدیگه اعضای مسجد هم با همین رفت و آمد دوستی و خارج از مسجد دارن یا فقط میان عبادت میکنن و میرن به خونه و زندگیشون
آقای بگو من تجربه
The question was I don't even know is people who come to the mosque like the church is not just coming to church you have relationships with each other outside of the church I was wondering if people who attend the local mosque to pray, do they have relationships with each other? Do they go into each other's homes? Are they involved in each other's lives?
مسجدها با هم دیگه فرق میکنن.
Mosques are different. Depends on the mosque.
بعضی مسجدها مسجدهای بزرگی هستن که اینا بیشتر مساجد سیاسی هستن.
There are some large mosques that it's like a symbolic mosque. They are ceremonial mosques.
مثلا توی کنار بازارها معمولا یک مسجد بسیار بزرگه.
Like in the markets of town, sometimes there are are huge mosques there.
بازار البته یک مجموعه بزرگه در ایران.
Yeah, bazaar is like the huge marketplace.
یا مثلا بعضی از مساجد هستش که تو مسیر راه قرار میگیره.
Or sometimes there are mosques on the road.
On the side of the road. So
people just say their prayers because it's a mosque and there nobody lives around it.
تو این جاها نه مردم با هم دیگه ارتباط ندارن. اما تو مساجد محلات.
Yeah, in those kinds of mosques people don't have relationships, but in local community mosques.
اونجا مسجدیا با هم دیگه ارتباطات بسیار خوبی دارن.
Yeah, people of the mosque have relationships with each other, good relationships.
امام مسجد تو محله اعتبار ویژه‌ای داره.
This cleric that runs the mosque is respected in the community.
خونه‌های هم دیگه میرن ارتباطات خوبی دارن. معمولاً کنار مسجد صندوق قرض الحسنه میزنن.
There is usually a box next door to the mosque where people can put money in it as alms for the poor or the needy.
یا مثلا کمک های دیگه ای میکنن بینشون. اینا معمولا بوده. آره.
Okay. So people help each other out in the community. Thank you.
حالا ask and question and answer.
اشاره به قرآن نکرد. این متن محوری اومد دیگه. میگه که قرآن چه نقشی رو در زندگی روزمره دینی مسلمان داره؟
قرآن برای مردم عادی نقشی نداره.
The Quran doesn't have much of a role for average people.
یعنی لازم نیست که حتما مردم هر روز بخونن. واجب نیست.
There is no obligation for people to read the Quran on a daily basis.
فقط توی نماز یک سوره از قرآن رو میخونن که واجبه.
In the prayers that they say there's got to be a chapter from the Quran. That's
ولی خب قرآن عوضش مبنای نظر فقهاست که روی اون قوانین دینی رو در میاره.
The Quran is the basis of the legal decisions of Muslim scholars. It's based on the Quran that our commands and ethical behavior and rules are based on the Quran. Okay, all right.
Jean?
So should I repeat that now? Or no, I repeated that, I think. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. And I also want to say, Mr. Abtahi has given a variety of lectures in a variety of settings. We thought this is a church and we should talk about that. But as Nelson Jennings said, feel free to ask any questions. So go ahead. بازگشت مهدی و
این صبح بوده اونجا ها.
آره ولی میگه نفهمیدم منظورتون. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. The question is about role of Mahdi, the second coming of Mahdi. The Shiites believe that the 12th Imam will come back one day, and so the question is, what is the significance of Mahdi and his coming?
بله شیعه معتقده که امام 12th غایب شده.
The Shiites believe that the 12th Imam has disappeared.
و او زنده است.
And he is alive.
و یه روزی خواهد آمد.
And one day he will come back.
اما اون که اون روز کی باشه هیچ وقت در روایات ما روش تاکید نشده.
But in our traditions there is no mention of when he will come back.
من فکر میکنم بیشتر شبیه اعتقاد شما باشه که مسیح میخواد برگرده.
I think it's like the Christian belief that Jesus will come back one day.
و فکر میکنم خیلی از ادیان این اعتقاد رو دارن که یک آینده جهان آینده خوبی خواهد بود.
I think many religions believe that in the future there will be a good future awaiting us.
حالا یا با مهدی یا با مسیح بالاخره یک سمبولی
whether it's Mahdi coming or Jesus coming, there is a symbol of somebody who will usher in a brighter future.
و این رو من معتقدم برای ادیان خیلی باعث جدای از این که اساسا حالا کی خواهد آمد و چی خواهد آمد، اصل این ایده ادیان رو خیلی زنده نگه می‌داره.
I think regardless of our differences about who is coming and when they're coming, I think the principle that there is hope for the future keeps the religions alive, helps them to hope for a better future.
Okay.
Okay. In Shiite Islam. آقای
چیزی بخش من یه مرتبه کمرم خیلی درد گرفته. بگو بهشون عذرخواهی بکن.
No, he needs to sit down because it's okay. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. میخوای اونجا بشین؟ He's apologizing.
No. Thank you. From morning I am speaking here.
Let me sit down. Yes. Is there a mic? So the question is about the role of Christ in Shiite tradition. Since according to Islam, Jesus is alive, and so what role will he play?
Thank you.
نقش مسیح در الهیات اسلام، چون مسیح اگه زنده است مسیح برمیگرده و نه مسیح نقشش چیه در نظر
ببینید شیه. برای مسلمون ها گفتگو راجع به حضرت مسیح هیچ مشکل نیست.
For Muslims to talk about Jesus, it's no problem to talk about Jesus for Muslims.
دین قبل از اسلام بوده.
Because it was a religion before Islam.
و به همین دلیل هم خیلی تایید کرده از حضرت مسیح.
And Islam does talks a lot about Jesus.
یعنی ما پیغمبر اسلام رو در ردیف پیغمبران ابراهیمی میدونیم که عیسی، موسی و ابراهیم بودن.
We believe Muhammad is in the same line of prophets as Jesus, Moses, Abraham.
قرآن نسبت به حضرت عیسی خیلی با احترام برخورد کرده.
The Quran respects Jesus in many ways.
و نسبت به حضرت مریم.
And also Mary.
ما بسیاری از مردم ایرانی و حتی عرب اسمشون عیسی است یا اسم دخترها مریمه.
Many Iranians, many Muslims name their sons Jesus or their daughters Mary. Or Isa is the Arabic word for Jesus.
و نقش حضرت عیسی در مورد زنده بودن یا نبودنش توی اسلام خیلی طبعا راجبش بحث نمیشه.
زنده بودنش یا نبودنش؟
آره. نه این بحثی که راجب آمدنش یا نیامدنش ببخشید.
In Islam there is not a lot of discussion about Jesus coming or not coming.
چون این یه شأن طبعا مسیحیه، شماها باید بحث شود.
This is an issue of importance for you Christians, discussion for Christians.
ولی منافاتی با حضرت مهدی نداره.
But there is no contradiction between Jesus and Mahdi.
چون خیلی از اشعار ما اشاره میکنه به این که مسیح و عیسی با هم خواهند آمد.
مسیح و مهدی. Yeah, there are many poets and literature in our Shiite Islam that says Jesus will come back with Mahdi. They will come back together.
توی روایات ما هم زیاد اومده که اینا با هم خواهند آمد.
And there, we have religious traditions from our imams that say the two of them will come back together.
و توی فرهنگ شیعه مشکلی بین ماجرای حضرت مسیح آمدنش و حضرت مهدی پیدا نمیشه.
So in Shiite thoughts worldview there is no tension between the coming of Christ and the coming of Mahdi.
من هم جای آقای سوال می‌خواست بگم.
Okay. فقط ایشون سوال میگه اگه مسیح If Jesus is still alive, is Prophet Muhammad still alive too? اگه مسیح زنده است آیا پیغمبر اسلام هم زنده هستند؟
نه ما اعتقاد نداریم زنده بودن پیغمبر.
No, we don't believe that Muhammad is alive.
ما قبر پیغمبر رو هم در مدینه میدونیم کجاست و میریم زیارت
میکنیم. We know where the Prophet Muhammad is buried in Medina and we go visit his grave.
و اگه نمیدونم شما اعتقاد دارید مسیح زنده است یا نه ولی در اسلام اعتقادی به زنده بودن پیغمبر اسلام نیست.
Yeah, I don't know about whether you believe Jesus is alive or not, but there is no belief at all in Islam about Muhammad being alive. The first part of the clarification is, do you believe that all religions are essentially the same thing and are valid pathways to God?
شما عقیده دارید آیا که همه ادیان اساساً یک چیز رو میگن و همشون راه‌های مناسبی هستن به خدا؟ این آیا درست میفهمم نظر شما رو؟
بگم؟ آره. خیلی کم ادامه
بده. نه، میخواد ادامه بده صحبتو، ولی
بله، من امروز در یکی دو تا سخنرانی این موضوع رو به تفصیل گفتم.
Yes, in some of my lectures today I have mentioned this.
من معتقدم که همه ادیان از طرف یک خدای واحد اومدن.
I believe all religions have come from one
ادیان ابراهیمی.
ادیانی که رسمی هستن، اصلی هستن.
I believe all major religions have come from the same one God.
طبیعتاً نمیتونه یک خدا اسنس های مختلفی رو ارائه بکنه.
Yeah, it can, one God cannot give different religions that are essentially different from each other.
البته میتونه طبیعتاً کارهای مختلفی پیغمبرای مختلف گفته باشن. این مشکلی ایجاد نمیکنه.
Of course he could have said
اختلافاتی هست تو اعمال.
He could have said different things about behavior and daily commandments to different prophets for their time.
ولی هیچ خدایی نگفته نمیتونه بگه که مثلا دزدی بکن، یکی بگه دزدی نکن.
One God cannot say, you know, God cannot say to in one religion do not steal and another religion go ahead and steal.
روح و اسنس ادیان یکیه.
The spirit and essence of religions is the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Follow up. I'll leave it on maybe this one.
Yeah.
If that's, I guess that would be an area where we probably have a disagreement in your relationship. We've got a seminary where we're probably more like conservatives in your country. Is your view representative of the reformists? And would you see Islam as a superior method? Not the only method.
Okay. So the question is this is your viewpoint the viewpoint of reformists in Iran, political reformists? Is this a common view among them also? And also, do you, although you believe all major religions are valid ways to God, would you say Islam is the best way to God? Is Islam the superior way to God compared to other religions?
آیا ریفورمیست ها همه این عقیده رو دارن؟ آیا شما اگه میگید همه ادیان به طرف خدا میرن، آیا ولی فکر میکنید اسلام بهترین راه، کاملترین راه، بالاترین راه؟
ماجرای ریفورمیست و کانسرواتیو یک ماجرای سیاسیه. ماها ممکنه یک عقاید جزء پارتی های سیاسی طبعتا ریفورمیست هستیم، ولی اونا تو مقاید دینیمون فرقی نمیکنه.
یه بار دیگه چی؟
ما بحث رفورمیست و کانسرواتیو یک بحث حوزه سیاسیه.
Yeah,
نه بحث حوزه دینی.
بله. ولی اکثر رفورمیست ها که عقیده دینی شما رو ندارن تو این نظر یا دارن؟ یعنی سوالش این بود، دیدگاه دینی شما آیا رفورمیست
ها؟ ما بگم مثلا این بحث دیدگاه دینی بحث ربطی به مسئله رفورمیست و کانسرواتیو نداره. اون یه حوزه سیاسی.
Okay, he says my belief has nothing to do, I mean the issues of reformists is totally it's a political issue. That's a political issue. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying in it as a, you know, in my religious point of view.
البته توی بحث عقیدتی ما یه عده کانسرواتیوای دینی هستن که مخالفن.
Yeah. And of course we also have religious conservatives that oppose what I'm saying.
ببینید در مورد اسلام بهترین راه هست نه؟
اگه همه ادیان به طرف خدا، پس اسلام برتری داره نسبت به دیگران؟
ببینید ما معتقدیم دو تا مکتب وجود داره. یکی میگه که حقیقت پیش منه، همه کسایی که غیر از این دین رو دارن یا غیر از این مذهب رو دارن خارج از این دایره وجود دایره هستن.
There are two viewpoints. One viewpoint in among religious people as a whole. One viewpoint says I have my religion has all the truth. And anybody who is not in my religion is outside of the circle of truth. All the truth is with me, and only my religion has the truth.
ولی یه گروهی هستن در هم مسیحی‌ها هم در مسلمان‌ها، ما هم جزء اون گروه هستیم، معتقدیم که حقیقت یک حقیقت بخشی از حقیقت نزد همه ادیان هست.
But there is another viewpoint. Some Christians believe that, some Muslims believe that, including myself, that all religions have truth. Truth is with all religions.
یعنی توی این دایره همه حقیقت‌ها قرار می‌گیره، همه ادیان قرار می‌گیرن.
So in the circle of truth, all religions are in that circle.
البته معتقدیم خیلی هم بحث کردن که هر دینی میتونه بگه که در درون این دایره من اون بالا قرار دارم.
Yeah, of course this is a very lively discussion. Every religion can say in this circle of truth that we all exist, I have a higher level. I'm on a higher.
ولی توی این دایره هست.
Yeah. We might say we're all in this circle, but yes, in this circle I am higher than others.
در این نگاه طبیعتاً هم شما حق دارید بگید مسیحیتون بالاست، هم ما حق داریم بگیم اسلام بالاست.
In this viewpoint, as Christians, you can say you have higher level of truth in this circle, and as Muslims, we can say we have a higher level on this ladder. But this doesn't create any problem because we acknowledge we're all
توی دایره است.
Yeah, because we're all in that circle of truth. Very good. The question is, given has our guest studied Christian scriptures, and how does he deal with the contradictory statements between Christian scriptures and, let's say, Islamic scriptures? We can share many values together, ethical values, but what do we do with these contradictory propositions and beliefs based on our different scriptures?
سوال اینه که آیا شما متون کتاب مقدس مسیح رو خوندین و چطوری تناقض‌های بین اتفاقاتی که تو انجیل میگم، مثلا میگه انجیل میگه مسیح مصلوب شد، زنده شد، در دست راست پدر نشسته، قرآن این رو انکار میکنه، شما چطوری تناقضات رو با هم جمع میکنید؟ شما میگید خدا نمیتونه حرفش عوض بشه، میتونیم حالا بچه مشترک توی اخلاقیات و
زندگی،
ولی این مسائل اختلافات تناقض تعالیم کتاب مبارک کتاب شما رو شما چطوری باش روبرو میشید؟
واقعیت اینه که این تناقض ها وجود داره.
The reality, the truth is these contradictions exist.
اینا یک بحث های تاریخیه، اینا نشانه این نیست که خدا حرف‌ها و اسانس‌های مختلفی ارائه کرده.
These are historical issues. This doesn't mean that God has given different religions with different essences.
نه، different essence. آره، ها؟
different essence.
چون ممکنه چیز این نوع مسائل خب طبیعتاً اختلافات درون ادیانیه دیگه. بین ادیان مختلف است.
اینا These are the differences. Internal differences between different religions. These are not the essential point. This is not what I mean when I say the essence is the same.
هیچ مشکلی ایجاد نمیکنه برای هیچ جا شما اعتقاد داشته باشی مسیح مصلوب شده، من اعتقاد نداشته باشم مسیح مصلوب شده.
Okay, this doesn't create any problems for you to believe Jesus was crucified and for me not to believe Jesus was crucified.
و هر کدوم به اعتقادات خودمون باشیم.
And we can all believe our own what we believe.
بله، تو قرآن ما میگه اون مصلوب نشده، تو انجیل شما میگه مصلوب شده.
Yes, the Quran says he wasn't crucified, and your gospel says he was crucified.
نه، شما دلیلی میتونی بیاری برای اینکه مصلوب شده، نه من میتونم دلیل بیارم برای اینکه مصلوب نشده.
You cannot prove that he was crucified. I cannot prove that he wasn't crucified.
چون هر دو تامون برمیگردیم باز به کتاب مقدس.
Because we both return to our sacred scriptures.
و به همین دلیل من معتقدم این اختلافات رو باید قبول کنیم که وجود داره.
We have to accept that these differences exist.
ولی مانعی برای همکاری‌های بینمون نیست.
نه ولی. Okay. But this is not an obstacle for cooperation between the two of us.
بگو شما چی می‌گید؟
نه ولی خب این گفتش این یعنی خب مسیحیت میگه این مسئله به اسانس ما ربط داره.
بگه مسیحیت ولی به اسانس ربط نداره.
I said, well, the Christian faith says the crucifixion is connected to the essence of Christianity. He says, well, Christians can say that, but I'm saying it doesn't connect to the essence of Christianity.
چون نه دنیای ما مربوطه به اینه که اون مسیح مصلوب شده، نه آخرت ما، نه جنگ ما، نه صلح ما.
He says, our life, our world is not based on whether Jesus was crucified or not. Our future is not based on that. Our wars is not based on whether Jesus was crucified or not.
و نه من حق دارم بگم شما از عقیدتون دست بردارید.
I have no right to tell you stop believing that.
و نه شما حق دارین به من بگید که دست از عقیدت بردارید.
And you don't have the right to tell me I must stop my belief.
چون اینا کتاب مقدسمونه و ما نمیتونیم کارش بکنیم.
These are things in our holy scriptures and we cannot touch them. Okay, yes sir.
Why is it my personal hope in faith comes through a belief that God is able to reveal himself as he have us understand him or know him? Is Muslim, how is it, or where is it that a gentleman like Mr. Aftabi places his hope if it's not in God revealing himself specifically and clearly, if that doesn't come, if there's no contrast or problem?
I am not clear on the question. I'm sorry.
Much of my hope in my faith rests in believing that God has revealed himself clearly
okay.
in the scripture, in the Christian scriptures.
Okay.
And so I wonder for a Muslim who doesn't necessarily believe that their religion contradicts with the Christian religion, where is it that their hope rests if it isn't God revealing himself clearly through the scriptures?
It's really back to that textual hermeneutical
yeah. question. Yeah, I mean, من نمیفهمم سوالش رو میخوام ترجمه بکنم. They would say God has revealed himself clearly in the Quran. I'm not sure. I am so sorry. I am just not, I cannot translate it if I'm not clear on the question. And I want you to pursue this. I'm just not.
Mr. Aftabi said that he believes all of the religions fit inside of the same, of that circle.
Okay.
So, but if he were to say then that his understanding of God
has revealed himself clearly in the Quran, but then he's placing his hope in the Quran and saying,
if they do contradict,
then one is true and the other is just some of the people don't actually have the right understanding of God. God اینه که خدا خودش رو به طور واضح توی کتاب مقدس ما معرفی کرده. خب آیا شما عقیده دارید که خدا خودش رو به طور واضح توی قرآن معرفی کرده؟ خب شما که میگی که این دایره هست، همه ادیان تو این دایره هست، به نظر میرسی که بس خیلی واضح نیست معرفی خدا. شما میگی که خدا آیا خودش رو واضح معرفی کرده یا نکرده؟ چون بالاخره انگار قرآن خب فرق داره با ادیان دیگه، بالاخره اینجا اینا تو گیج کننده است، اینا تو مبهمه.
من معتقدم در مورد معرفی خدا خیلی گیج کننده نیست.
Okay, I don't believe that معرفی خدا خیلی گشنده نیست.
یعنی همه ادیان خدا رو معرفی کردن.
I believe that all religions have introduced God to us.
و در مورد معرفی خدا اختلاف کمتری وجود داره.
I don't believe there are big differences about how God has revealed himself.
اسمهاشون مختلفه.
God has different names in different religions.
ولی معانیش یکیه.
But the meanings I believe are the same.
و به همین دلیل مشکل نمیرم تو این دایره هر کسی به دین مستقلی مرتبط باشه اما خدای واحدی وجود داشته.
Yeah, so in this circle there can be different religions but all of them, you know, are go back to that one God and people relate to that one God through these religions.
ببین من یه خدایی میشناسم اسمش الله.
I know a God whose name is Allah.
شما یه خدایی میشناسی اسمش همون که تو بگی چیه؟ اسمش من نمیدونم چی میگن اینا انگلیسی.
He says you believe in a God, I don't know, what do you call him, what's his name?
یعنی حالا نه اختلافیه، بعضی میگن
یهوه منظورته،
نه خدایی که مسیح یا قائلا
پدر میگه،
پدر میگه.
Okay, you Christians say father.
آره ممکنه یه دیگه خداهای دیگه قائل باشن.
Some other religions might have different name for that God.
اما وقتی که یک خواسته ای دارن همه اونا به یه حقیقت اشاره میکنن، اسمشون مختلفه.
But when there is a desire in human beings to pray to that God, they're all connecting to the same God, although they name him different names. They call him with different names.
یه شاعر معروفی هست که شعرهای ایرانی داره به نام مولانا.
There is a famous poet by the name of Rumi.
این میگه که یه شبی آدم‌های مختلف رفتن اونجا، گفتن این تو این تاریکی فیل هست.
There is a famous story of in a dark room people go and there is an elephant in the dark room.
بعد هر کسی دستش به یک جای چیز خورد.
Yeah, everybody touched a different part of this big elephant.
و هر کدوم که آمد بیرون یه جور متفاوتی از این الفنت تعریف کرد.
And everybody who came out of the room described what they felt like they had touched as different parts of this elephant.
وقتی نور به این اتاق تابیده شد معلوم شد که همه اینا راجع به یه موضوع حرف می‌زدن ولی با تعریف‌های مختلف.
But when the light came in the room they realized that it's all one elephant but they were giving different descriptions of different parts of this elephant.
ما توی عرفان اسلامی معتقدیم که خدا یکیست.
In Islamic
ولی اسمای مختلفی داره.
As a Muslim I believe that there is one God but he has different names.
یک تعبیری هم در قرآن داره اونم تعبیر قشنگیه.
The Quran also says something which I think is beautiful.
میگه وقتی که تو دریا افتادی.
It says when a person is drowning in the sea.
و دیگه هیچ امیدی به هیچ جا نداشتی.
When you have lost all hope for rescue.
اون کسی که اون لحظه تو اونو صدا میزنی اون خداست، حالا اسمش هر چی میخواد باشه.
The person that you call out for rescue at that moment is God, regardless of what you call him, what name you call him. Or I might have mistranslated him, so that's all. The question is, if people are not reading the Quran and are not familiar with the Quran themselves, how do they decide which leader to emulate and follow in their, especially when their judgments differ among various leaders?
میگه شما وقتی گفتی که اگر یه مسلمانای معمولی واجب نیست که قرآن رو بخونن و باش خوب آشنا باشن، پس بر طبق چه اساسی دنبال یه مرجع تقلید میرن؟ از کجا میدونن که این مرجع تقلید تفسیرش از قرآن بهتر از یه مرجع تقلید دیگه است؟ وقتی هم که بخصوص با هم اختلاف نظر دارن، مردم بر چه اساسی انتخاب میکنن که دنبال کی برن؟
ببینید، خب طبیعتاً قرآن هم بخونن که فرقی نمی‌کنه که کدوم مرجع بفهمن.
I don't think even if they read the Quran it will help them determine which person to follow.
مهم اینه که بدونن کی اطلاعاتش بیشتره از علوم مختلفه.
It's just they need to know who has the largest amount of knowledge from different Islamic sciences.
این یه قاعده ای داره در شیعه.
There are certain principles in Shia Islam.
باید دو نفر کسی که فقیه هستش و آدم اعتماد داره به فقاهتش اعلام بکنن که کی از این مراجع علمش بیشتره، سوادش بیشتره.
یه بار دیگه بگی.
دو نفر
okay.
از آدم‌های مقبول علمی
خب
امامای جماعت اینا که نظر سواد okay. قبولش دارن، اینا اعلام بکنن که و مورد اعتماد اون طرف هستن، اعلام بکنن که فلان مرجع تقلید سوادش از فلان مرجع تقلید بیشتره.
Okay. One principle is two legal scholars that are respected by people and should say to the person that this prominent leader is more knowledgeable than the rest of them.
و هر کسی میتونه به دو نفری که اعتماد میکنه بره و مرجع تقلیدشو پیدا بکنه.
Yeah, so I mean it might sound strange to you, but yeah, there is a great deal of freedom who to follow. So legally, in a religiously legitimate way, all that is required for an average believer is to find two knowledgeable people to tell him which person to emulate, and that fulfills his duty as to finding the right person.
But then, if the افراد مختلف میره طبیعتا همه مراجع تقلید هم مقلد های جداگونه خودشونو دارن دیگه.
Yeah, and so different leaders have different followers, and it's okay to have different followers. It's somewhat like different denominations here. You can say we're all Christians, but we go to different denominations. So we're all Shiites, but we follow different scholars.
Hold on one second, please.
Government even fears the power of these individuals.
And of course, there are people who fear the Quran.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah.
And I wonder if you could kind of explain that a little
more. Again, I will ask him, but again, the point is not people fear, that government fears that they don't have total control over people. So these are competitions with the government. But I will ask him the question. The question was, there was a reference that the government might be afraid of various religious leaders who have all these followers. What is this fear all about?
شما گفتی که دولت شاید میترسه از یکی از مراجع تقلید. این چه ترسیه؟ ترسش از چیه دولت؟ از این افراد مثلا گفتم به خاطر اینکه خب استقلال دارن اینا
خب طبیعیه میتونن به مقلدینشون دستور بدن خیلی کارا بکنن
Yeah, because the people that the leader can tell their followers to do certain things that the government would not be happy about.
خود انقلاب اسلامی نشونه اینه که قدرت مرجع تقلید چقدر زیاده.
Yeah, the Islamic revolution itself is a sign of how powerful religious leaders are.
آیت‌الله خمینی تنها قدرتی که داشت این بود که مرجع تقلید بود.
Yeah, the only power that Ayatollah Khomeini had was that he had followers. It was a source of emulation.
آیت الله خمینی کسی بود که بخواد به خاطر مرجعیت شاه نتونست باهاش کنار بیاد. تلاش کرد احترام بکنه به مراجع دیگه ولی به آیت الله خمینی چنین احترامی نداشت. آیت الله خمینی هم با اون کنار نیامد ولی نهایتاً این عدم احترام موجب به یک انقلاب بزرگ شد. نشونه قدرته.
Just the very fact that the Shah of Iran couldn't really destroy Khomeini, no, send Khomeini to exile, but the fact that Ayatollah Khomeini still had power over people with his pronouncements. He could tell people what to do, and eventually that led to the revolution.
بعد از انقلاب چون حکومت دینیه طبیعتاً یه مرجع تقلید اگر حکم بکنه به یک کار حکومت بگه غیر دینیه خیلی برای حکومت سخته.
Yeah, and so now of course our government is a religious government, but if a powerful religious leader pronounces something against the will of the government, that costs the government a lot of anxiety. In Iranian history, we've had a number of episodes where the religious leaders would say, for example, doing this is illegal, and people would refrain from using it, and the government would have to bend its will to the will of the religious leaders. So that's yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Would a Christian pastor be able to talk about interfaith dialogue in a mosque in Iran? آیا یک کشیش مسیحی توی ایران میتونه درباره توی مسجد درباره گفتگوی ادیان صحبت کنه؟
توی ایران خب جمعیت غیر مسلمان خیلی کمه.
In Iran, non-Muslim population is very small.
و طبیعتاً اونا رهبران مسیحی توی کلیساهای خودشون صحبت میکنن.
So Christian leaders speak in their churches.
و مراسمی باشه مناسبتی باشه دعوت میکنن ولی به صورت طبیعی نه توی مسجد صحبت نمیکنن
شاید مثلا باید طبیعی نبود مثلا صحبت همین حق و آزادی و نمیدونم این باز بودن و این حرفا رو
دارن خب ببینید حالا اینو بگو که مثلا توی مناسبت ها اینا
yeah, I mean naturally a Christian leader wouldn't go to a mosque unless there is a special occasion where the mosque invites a Christian leader to come So it's not a natural occurrence. I said, well, I think the question is not about naturally. It's about is there a right, is there a freedom and openness to do that?
یعنی طبیعی وقتی که ما در کشور 70 میلیونی کمتر از 1% همه ادیان غیر مسلمان هستن، مسئله مردم خیلی مسئله ادیان مختلف نیست.
So in a country of 70 million where you have less than 1% of the population is non-Muslim, inter-religious dialogue is not even an issue on people's minds.
البته اقلیت ها توی کنیسه های خودشون آزادی دارن ما توی ایران نماینده دارن توی مجلس همه ادیان رسمی
Religious minorities have their own freedom to worship Christians, Jews, Zoroastrians They have parliamentary representatives in Iran
حتی شاید شما بهتر بدونین که در اعمال شخصی مثل ازدواج و طلاق و اینا با قوانین کلیسایی انجام میدن آره؟ میتونن انجام بدن چون این آقای سرکیسی هم میگفت
آره it's a pretty complicated question. We have different Christian groups with different kinds of rights, but Armenian Christians, an ethnic minority Christian group, they can do their own civil issues based on church laws, like divorce, marriage, inheritance. They don't have to obey Islamic laws in Christian communities. Hold on, over here. Uh-huh.
As opposed to
yes.
What is the percentage of Muslims that believe as he does versus the religious conservatives?
Okay, the issue of religious conservatives who are exclusivists and religious liberals or pluralists who believe all religions lead to God. What's the percentage in Iranian society of these two viewpoints?
چه درصدی از جامعه ایران محافظه کار نظر الهیاتی که اسلام تنها راهه و چه درصدی فکر میکنید تن فکر شما هستن که همه ادیان در حقیقتن به خدا میرسن؟
ببینید توی بدنه اجتماع این بحثا طبیعتا نمیره وقتی که جایی باشه که ادیان دیگه وجود نداشته باشه.
See, the fact that there are just not a lot of other religions in Iran, average people don't even think about these things.
همینجا توی آمریکا شما توی غیر رهبران کلیسا یا دانشگاهی ها برید تو مردم عادی این بحثا رو بکنید طبیعتا مشکلشون نیست مطرح نمیکنن.
So maybe outside of church circles or theological circles if you go to average people in America I don't think these are huge issues people think about on a daily basis.
ولی فکر میکنم اگر یه جایی باشه که مورد بحث قرار بگیره اکثریت مردم با روحیه لیبرال که ایرانیا دارن این حرفا رو میپذیرن ولی بحثی نشده.
اکثریت مردم حرف شما رو میپذیرن؟
در مورد این که همه آره میپذیرن میگم دلیلش هم
اوکی آی واز سرپرایزد بات آی ام گونا انترپرت هی سیز آی ثینک دات این این سرکلز اف دیس بیکمز ا دیسکشن ا کانشس دیسکشن آی ثینک موست ایرانیانز وود اکسپت مای پوزیشن مای ویو پوینت.
دلیلش اینه که مردم خودشون با این اقلیت ها اونجایی که با هم دیگه در کنار هم دیگه زندگی میکنن خیلی راحت زندگی میکنن.
Yeah, I mean Muslims live very comfortably with the religious minorities that do exist in Iran.
ما یه سری شهرهایی داریم که توش اقلیت زیاده.
We have some cities in Iran where there is a lot of non-Muslims there.
و یه سری محلاتی هم در تهران داریم که اقلیت ها توش هست.
And some neighborhoods that are Christian neighborhoods in Tehran.
هیچ وقت ما درگیری و اختلاف بین مردم این مناطق با هم دیگه نداشتیم.
There's never been a conflict between let's say Muslims and Christians.
این نشونه اینه که اگر یه وقتی هم ازشون پرسیده بشه اینا اینجور نیست که اینها رو مثلا باطل بدونن بخوام با اینا بجنگن اینا رو بکشن از بین ببرن.
Yeah, and so there is not any idea that these are infidels that we must kill because they are, you know, they are deceiving or they are so it's not that kind of an attitude among Iranians.
گویم که مشکل بوده مشکل حکومت با اقلیت‌ها بوده نه مشکل مردم با حکومت.
Yeah, there have been problems between the government and religious minorities but not average people with religious minorities. Let me add something to clarify.
I want to make sure that we're not wearing enough.
Okay, we're going to make خیلی خسته و گفتاتون بکنید بعد آخر شب.
نه الله هر وقت بیا من هستم.
He's here as long as you're here. If I can add a clarification, I would say most Iranians have the belief that if you're a good person and you believe in God, you will go to heaven, regardless of your religious belief. That's a very, I think, well-established popular opinion. Now, I don't think they would consider themselves pluralists because they haven't thought philosophically about it. They would still say Islam is the final religion, Prophet Muhammad is the final prophet, other religions have been corrupted, all that. But still, if you're a good person, you believe in God, you're okay. Because there are verses in the Quran that seem to say that. If you believe in God, believe in the Day of Judgment, and do righteous deeds, God will reward you. So I would say that's the kind of distinction I like to make. That's correct, but the belief that good people go to heaven, regardless of what religion they are.
اون خانم اونجا خیلی وقت.
Yes, go ahead.
پیغمبر میشه به ما زنده میکنه.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. The issue is how come if Jesus is like other prophets, as Islam teaches, how come Jesus is so special? For example, all the prophets have died, but Jesus is still alive. Is there something unique or special about Jesus?
And where is he?
Okay.
اسلام شما میگید که مسیح مثل همه پیغمبرهای دیگه است ولی خب همه پیغمبرهای دیگه اسلام میگه یعنی قبول داریم همه مردن فقط مسیحه که زنده است پس آیا مسیح یه شخص مخصوصیه فرقی داره با پیغمبرهای دیگه و کجا هست اگر الان زنده است
ما که این اعتقادو نداریم
که چی؟
که مسیح زنده است
خب شما این بابا
نه میگم که نه میگم که این که در مورد مسیح گفته میشه خیلی جزئیاتش رو توی اسلام پیگیری نمی‌کنن، طبیعتاً تو دین مسیحیت پیگیری می‌کنن.
ولی اینکه خب مسیح نمرده، خب چرا مسیح نمرده؟ چرا مسیح مصلوب نشده؟ خدا اونو به آسمون برد، همه پیغمبرا مردن معمولی و اومدن و مردن معمولی.
ولی باشه این نشانه اهمیت مسیح باشه، خیلی هم خوبه. چه اشکال داره؟
I love this.
He said, well, Islam, first of all, doesn't go into detail about where Jesus is and what happened after the fact that he's not crucified. We just don't go into details. There is no elaboration. And he said, okay, even if you say that this shows the significance of Jesus, well, good. Jesus is significant. So I have no problem with Jesus being unique and significant.
Yeah. البته خب yeah. اگرم نقل شده باشه بنا به اعتقاد مسلمان یه تاریخ رو داره میگه دیگه، تاریخ حضرت مسیح اینجوری بوده.
Yeah. Islam is just, the Quran is just giving us the history of Jesus. I mean, a typical Islamic answer is God decides to do what he wants to do with each prophet.
طبیعتاً ما هیچ مشکلی در هیچ اهمیت دادن به حضرت مسیح و حضرت موسی و حضرت ابراهیم نداریم.
نه، اصلا اهمیت دادن اسمی که مسیح منحصر به فرد به نظر میرسه با مقایسه با بقیه پیغمبرا.
حالا این نشونه منحصر به فرد بودن نیست، ولی خب یه نشونه متفاوت بودنه دیگه.
Yeah, he says.
دیگه مشکل نداره.
Yeah, he says this. I said, well, doesn't this show that there is something unique about Jesus compared to other prophets? He says, I don't consider this a unique characteristic. I would say Jesus is just different than other prophets.
این اشکال نداره.
There's no problem.
ما مشکلی نیست.
In Islamic theology, doesn't cause any problems for us. Okay, one last question, that lady back there. Uh-huh.
I have a non-theological
question. Okay, yes, so I'll be there. I guess,
in the Christian worship, music plays a very important and moving part of our worship services. In the Muslim worship services, do you celebrate the music?
Yeah. Okay, the issue is the place of music in Islamic worship. Does it have a place and role?
Music that... پرستش مسیحیت خیلی مهمه، نقش بزرگی داره. آیا موزیک در پرستش اسلامی نقش و اهمیتی داره؟
نه، موزیک خیلی نقش دینی نداره در کشور اسلامی.
Yeah, music does not have a religious significance.
ولی خیلی از موزیک ها موزیک های دینی گذاشته استفاده میشه، یعنی موزیک های دینی درست شده.
But people have composed religious music.
بسیاری از شعرهای عرفانی رو با موزیک خوندن.
Many Sufi poetry has been put to songs.
و بسیاری از متن‌های قدیمی رو تبدیل به شعر کردن، متن‌های مذهبی قدیمی رو تبدیل به
شعر. Or old religious texts have been written into poetic forms.
ولی اون نقشش نقش دینی اولیه نیست.
تو مسجد هم مثلا
آره، نقش دینی اولیه نیست.
It does not have a prominent religious function.
مثلا این اینجا که مثلا برای شما گذاشتن yeah. چیه؟
اورگ.
اورگ یا مثلا توی کلیسه right. توی مسیحیت خیلی نقش جدی‌تری داره.
Yeah. In Christianity music plays a much more significant role than in Islam.
ولی در اسلام به صورت به عنوان دین خیلی نقش جدی نداره، تو مسلمان‌ها البته موسیقی‌های مختلف دینی وجود داره.
Yeah, but so it doesn't have a prominent religious significance or role, but among Muslims, Muslim people like music and it's popular.
من یه دعا میکنم دیگه تمومش میکنم.
Okay. All right. I will say a prayer and I will finish
ولی
this.
ولی ما دعامون در ایران از ائمه رسیده، اینجا دعا رو از خودم میگم مثل شما.
از خودتون میگید. Okay. This is not a traditional written prayer that from our Shiite imams. It's my own prayer.
My God. خدایا دلهای مردم متدین رو در سراسر دنیا به هم مهربون میکن.
I pray to God that he would bring the hearts of religious people closer to each other.
خدایا به مردم توفیق بده از زندگیشون بتونن لذت ببرن و در راه تو خدمت کنن.
God help people to enjoy their life and to use their lives for your service.
خدایا به قدرت‌های که امروز دنیا رو دارن، قدرت در دنیا دارن، توفیق بده که بتونن بشریت رو به طرف صلح ببرن.
God give the countries you have given power to use their power to bring people towards peace.
اونایی که به جنگ فکر میکنن اونها رو هدایت کن که به صلح فکر کنن.
Help those people who are thinking about war to think about peace.
اونایی که نفرت و خشونت پراکنده میکنن توفیقشون بده که به محبت بیندیشن.
People who want to spread hatred, help them to spread love.
اونایی که مردم رو در سراسر دنیا فقیر نگه داشتن توفیق بده بهشون که به مردم فقیر توفیق بده که بتونن با تلاش و کوشش به زندگی خوب برگردن.
People who have kept others in poverty, help the poor people to have a decent standard of living.
امیدوارم که سربازان شما هر چه سریعتر با سلامت به کشورتون برگردن.
I pray that your soldiers would return to your country soon and in good health.
و امیدوارم که مردم عراق هم به زودی از شر تروریسم و خشونت نجات پیدا کنند.
And I pray that the people of Iraq would be safe from terrorism and violence.
و منطقه ما به خصوص منطقه خاورمیانه از این خشونت سالیان دراز نجات پیدا بکنه.
I pray that you would save the Middle East from the spread of violence and extremism.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. If anybody is interested in Mr. Abtahi's website, Sasan, can you maybe, you know it from memory?
Yes.
I know it too.
There are little lavender guest pads at the end of the pew, and if anybody wants his website, you can take it out. There's a little pencil in there. You can rip a sheet of paper out, and Sasan is going to give it to you right now.
Yeah. There are two sites, just for you to know. There is a blog, which is it has an English part to it, and then there is the Institute for Interreligious Dialogue. I don't have the website for Interreligious Dialogue. Okay, it's www.iid.org.ir. So iid.org.ir, IR stands for Iran. So, yeah. And then the weblog is www.webnevishtaha. Yeah. W-E, B like boy, N like Nancy, E, V like Victor, E, S, H, T like Tom, E-H-A. We will repeat it, .com. So it's Web Neveshtaha, again, WebNeveshtaha.com. Web Neveshtaha.com. /en is the English version, or you can go to the Farsi website and click on the word English.
Okay, and it'll be on our website too.
Something I have been going around and saying in each event is I want you to know, first of all, there are not too many churches that can say we've had a former vice president of Iran in our church. So thank you for inviting Vice President Abtahi. And I am a Muslim convert. I am an Iranian Christian leader. I am involved in evangelism and church leadership among Iranians, both in Iran and outside of Iran. And I want you to know that I have always felt like a close friend to Mr. Abtahi. When I went to Iran, I was always welcomed. I was always greeted with a great deal of hospitality, not just by Mr. Abtahi and his wife, but by other Muslim clerics, by Muslim religious leaders. Now, this doesn't mean that there are no problems between church and state in Iran, but the fact is that the fact that two human beings with very different theological understandings of God and world can come and be friends and show the beauty of human relationships, I think we need to acknowledge that fact. And we need to acknowledge that what the media tells us is not the whole truth. The media doesn't define reality, and it would be good for you to have by faith, take that step of courage, that don't let these obstacles and fears paralyze you. Dr. Nelson Jennings, Dr. Haddad, they went to Iran, and they were overwhelmed by the hospitality of Iranians, Muslims and Christians. And so please don't feel like if you go to Iran, you will be taken as hostage at the airport. You will be treated with a lot of kindness, with a lot of hospitality. And so part of the desire of Mr. Abtahi and myself is to see that relationship between Iranians and Americans. I think there is no reason to think that we must be two nations at war, that we can be friends, we can develop friendship, and we don't have to let the past define the present or the future. So I just wanted to add that. And on his behalf, he wanted to thank the pastor of the church for inviting him and for inviting me to this beautiful church. So maybe we could have the pastor in Iran next round for this.
Special thanks to Sasan for translating for us. That's not easy work. And again, thank you all for coming. And our guests will be around for
a few minutes. Take a picture of this too.
For the blog.